Our God is always with you. This is a reading from the book of Luke. When a couple had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of God, they returned to Galilee and their own town of Nazareth. The child grew in size and strength. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thanks, Phil. That was fantastic. I'm going to start with a rather poor joke about the Holy Family. Poor Joseph. Whenever someone was at fault in the Holy Family, they always knew it was Joseph. He was the one to blame. He was, after all, the only one without sin. Oh, well. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are referred to as the Holy Family. And perhaps they are called holy because of the problems and the difficulties that they lived through. Let me restate what we are known, what we seem to know about their lives. The story begins with a rather unbelievable conception story, with a good man stepping up to protect a young girl. Without his action, she could have been stoned to death or sent to remain in shame in her father's house, where she would forever be looked down upon. Then there was the journey to Bethlehem. The 9th month of pregnancy is not a comfortable time. Your bowels don't work. Your bladder is on overtime, and you feel like a distended pumpkin, ready to blow at any minute. How happy was Mary riding on a donkey in her 9th month? Then there was the delivery of a child in the place that sheltered animals. How cheerful was Joseph, newly married, finding himself in a strange town, needing help with a wife set to deliver? And then there was that hurried trip to Egypt, where they were strangers in a strange land. We know how difficult it is for immigrants. What struggles did they face? How did they survive? Of course, there was the time that Jesus decided to stay in the temple while his parents walked some 30 miles towards Nazareth, not knowing that he was not with their group. I mean, where was Child Protective Services? Where did Jesus eat and sleep while he stayed in Jerusalem? In my heart, I know what Mary felt. At first, there was that great relief in finding her son alive. And then, well, but isn't that followed by the urge to beat the child or at least shake him? You have walked some 30 miles to find him, and you're going to drag him back home another 40 miles. Dad has lost money by not working, and every penny was tight. Mom has been filled with anxiety, crying, and unable to sleep. This was not a happy reunion. We don't know when Mary's husband Joseph died, but he is not found in later stories. So Mary lost her provider. Did Jesus take over the business? Was he now responsible for Mary's survival? When Jesus started preaching, his family went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And then Jesus seemed to deny them his family. If that happened to you, would you ever be able to join your family in a gathering without a lot of stress and anxiety? Of course, there was a time that Jesus was called a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He was the enemy of both the religious and the political authorities. Jesus' crucifixion and death left his mother at the foot of the cross crying because her son was dead, wanting to know if she might have done something differently so that his life wouldn't have ended this way. Lots of trouble there between mother and son, lots of confusion and misunderstanding, lots of less than holy moments. Perhaps it is more how families respond to the difficult and upsetting things that happen in life that makes them holy. Each of our families, like Jesus' family, are also filled with trouble, confusion, and misunderstandings. Every family has a story of a relative with a difficult pregnancy or delivery. Many have stories of relatives who had to leave town in a hurry. Perhaps it was a new job, a change in circumstances, or maybe it was just beating the police out of town. There are many children who try their parents' patience while they are growing in wisdom and strength. Many relatives have families with only one parent in the home and know the struggles that they face. We all have relatives who at one time or another, we may have questioned their sanity, and many who we pray will just stay on their medicine and continue treatment. Some of us have relatives and family who walk on the wilder side, overeating, overdrinking, and running around with the wrong people. Some here who have relatives who have died too soon, some violently. In many ways, the story of the Holy Family are so believable because we all know similar stories in our friends or our families. We have an image of what we want our families to be, whether that is some imagined brood yet to be born, or one remembered, long since disbanded. These dreams and these memories often do not measure up to what we really know our families are. We need to realize how high the stakes are in families. The more we love, the more we make ourselves vulnerable. No one can love us like family. And no one can hurt us like family. Remember that when you think of your own family. And we know it's only human to take sides and identify the one causing or the one receiving some offending trouble. Yet, who beside God can draw the line between sinning and being sinned against? It's so easy to see the hurt that others have caused. It's more difficult to see the inner pain that often impels them. And perhaps the most difficult of all is recognizing the suffering that we ourselves have inflicted. That's why I included the line from the Message Bible about being submissive to each other. In any committed relationship, there needs to be an equality in relationships, finding common ground based on mutual support. At times, each person needs to give 100%, 100% of the time. And often that's pretty difficult. There are roadmaps that can detail the physical difference between family members. But so do wounds. If the holidays have wounded you, you might still pray that a family member receive God's best blessing. We may need to keep our physical distance, but we can at least pray for good things for our family members. We need to always try to act with respect towards others. Respect is sort of like air. When it's present, you don't notice it. And when it's absent, it's all anyone can think about. Fusing together a family often means overlooking a lot, being ready to forgive once and once again. It means constantly asking ourselves if we have really given all that we can. Sometimes, blending together a family means establishing dear relationships, even in the absence of blood. Yes, blood runs deeper than water, but love searches from a fathomless vein. The blood of Joseph did not flow in the veins of Jesus as Mary's did. But never think that the manhood of the man Jesus was not crafted by that carpenter from Nazareth. The sanctity of the Holy Family sets them apart from us, but I think maybe the greater separation is that of the deliberate decisions. Joseph chose to accept Mary and her unborn son as his own. Mary chose to bear the Christ child. And the Son of God chose to become flesh, to become a member of a family. We may not yet be saints, but the decisions we make with our families does not make them any less sacred. They are created to be holy. They are the instruments of our learning and our growth, chosen for us by God. When sanctity is the measure, our families may be quite different from Jesus's, Mary and Joseph's, but the question still becomes what we choose to do, how we choose to live, who we choose to include in our family. Then we could not be more like them. All families are called to holiness. Holiness is not about keeping up appearances. It isn't about feeling happy and having rosy memories. It's about love, the kind of love that is willing to suffer and die for the beloved. Our families being holy doesn't mean that they have to be perfect. We all fail in very ordinary ways, but it's important that we truly desire the good of the other person in our family. It's essential that we treat the other members of our family with respect. Regardless of your family's situation, there is hope for you and the family that you gather with. You are called to holiness. Holiness will look very different depending upon the family dynamics, but regardless, you are called to holiness. The most powerful thing you can do is entrust the health, healing, and holiness of your family to God. God willing, someday, even though we have made many mistakes in our lives, we will be saints like Saint Joseph too. You've heard Tom speak of the impact of our church family had when we fed the homeless for Thanksgiving. Our church family chooses to reach out and bring hope to many. Each of you, individually, this year has brought hopes to others when you have given to a charity or drop some coins into the Salvation Army bucket. I've been working at a small emergency food and clothing pantry. We don't expect thank yous at all, but we received one that I wanted you to hear about. The person was in a rehab program, and in order to thank us, he needed to find paper and to write a note. He needed to find our address and find a stamp and an envelope. These can all be really big things. This thank you is for any one of you who helped anyone this year. Howdy, my name is Bill, and I currently reside at 115, which is a drug and alcohol program here in Dayton. I entered here with little more than the clothes on my back, very little hope, and far from God. It says somewhere in the Word about I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, fed, or clothed me. Because of your kindness, I now have nice clothes to start a new phase of my life. One of my many prayers has been answered. I just wanted you all to know how I appreciate your love and your prayers. Much thanks. Sincerely, Bill. May God continue to bless each of you and your many families, your biological family, your church family, and the families you build with friends as we begin this new year. God bless you. Amen.